You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey, this is Justice Mosqueda for Acme Packing Company. This is Intercepted, where we usually interview a fan of a rival team. The script got flipped real early, week one of the regular season. The Athletics' Arif Hassan interviewed me for Nosh Codes podcast, and we decided to cross-post it this week as this week's Intercepted.
All right, I'm here with the least valuable member of the Norse Code guest rotation, Justice Mosqueda, known royalist and monarch supporter, and also who happens to be a blogger with SB Nation for the Packers. Was it Acme Packing Company, I think, is the SB Nation site for that. So, Justice, how you doing?
Doing great. When did I become a royalist? You just keep calling me different names.
You talk about Packers royalty all the time. I would just feel like, you know, this sort of colonialism has just been part of your brand for a long time.
Colonialism. Oh my goodness. our team is owned by the fans.
Yeah, I'm sure. And the queen serves the country. Yeah, same thing for sure.
Sure. What does the queen mean to you, Arif?
Well, first, moment of silence for Lizzie. I want to pay respects to you and the tragedy that you suffered today, hearing of her passing. So, moment of silence. All right, great. How has the Queen impacted you personally?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, how is the Queen? check the news, not good. It hasn't at all. Not one bit.
Okay. Yeah, so no feelings about Lizzie in a box?
I saw the Irish people chant that at a soccer game.
I saw that one too. Yeah,
I wish I knew more about world politics so I could participate in more things.
That hasn't stopped you before.
Fair. That's fair. We're supposed to talk about football, man. We got a blood match.
It's one of the most American days of the year. The opening of football season and also the end of another monarch. Extremely American hours right now. Let's talk about the Packers. Okay, cool. What do you miss most about Davante Adams?
Not having to wonder if Sammy Watkins is going to lead the team in receptions on Sunday. Because I think that's a real possibility. You know, Alan Lazard's missed back-to-back practices on Wednesday and Thursday when we record this with an ankle injury because someone stepped on him.
What's going on there?
I was surprised. It originally was reported as a knee injury, and I was like, how do you get stepped on and have a knee injury? Like, were you running full speed? And then they called it an ankle. I was surprised it wasn't a foot or a toe. I was getting ready for the Tova jokes again. But yeah, I mean, if Lazard isn't out there, I mean, there's a pretty good chance your top three wide receivers in the game. I mean, I'm sure Rodgers will want to get Randall Cobb out there more than he usually does, but he's really only out there for third downs in the slot anyway. Mm-hmm. But if it's not Lazard, I mean, it's going to be Sammy Watkins, who just got here, Christian Watson, who wasn't able to practice or wasn't able to play in the preseason. He was able to practice, wasn't able to play. And then Romeo Doubs. So, I mean, those are all new faces.
My question is, like, I know you've never had a ton of confidence in the Packers training staff, but I feel like you're at a new low when they can't diagnose the right body part, right?
I think that one might have been misreported. I think that's how that one worked out.
Okay, so the relationship that Rodgers has with receivers is like famous. He's very particular. He wants them to do things exactly his way. And I feel like with everybody who's new to him, except obviously, of course, Randall Cobb, there just seems like there's going to be a lot of discord, right? It feels like there's a lot of opportunity for Rodgers to get mad at people.
Yeah, I think we set the over-under at 2.5 times that Rodgers yells at a pass catcher in the game on our Thursday show.
Sure. So, okay, that makes sense.
You know, Robert Tonyan's still out with, or limited with the knee injury. He tore his ACL last year too, so yeah. Who knows what's going to happen there. He's chirped at Josiah DeGuara a good amount. I mean, I think we might hit the over. I think Rodgers, this is the classic, like, Rodgers is going to chew someone's ass out game.
Okay, so leading pass catcher has to be Aaron Jones then, right?
He's a running back, man.
Yeah.
You tell me. I mean, they didn't run. We heard all this stuff from Stanovich, and, you know, they like to protect all their stuff in the preseason and all that. But Stanovich was like, we got to get Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon on the field together. They didn't run any two-back stuff this entire preseason outside of, like, using a tight end back there or Amari Rodgers. So.
I mean, the Vikings also, like, didn't play a fullback in the preseason, and then they rostered one and talked him up all offseason. So, like, I get it, but, like, I've heard so many teams talk about, hey, we love the second running back. We got to get, you know, both these running backs on the field at the same time. I've heard it forever.
There's, like, three teams that actually do it. It's, like, the Cowboys, the Saints, the Cardinals. Like, there's very few teams that actually get two backs on the field. Actual running backs, not a running back and a fullback on the field at the same time.
So, yeah. So, like, how confident are you that that's actually going to happen? That feels fake.
Not really, because even when they've shown a little bit, like, this is going to sound dumb. I padded their family night practice.
I know
you did. It's the only time we're going to get a look at their starters.
Okay. Not everybody on this, listening to this, is a degenerate. Can you tell me what padding is?
I'm charting everything. I'm charting everything. It's a practice. There's not even a clock, a live clock.
You conceded on the padding versus charting controversy instantly. Okay.
Yeah. I'm beyond the fights. But basically, so they ran a couple, you know, two back sets with, you know, Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, and kind of used Aaron Jones as, like, a motion man, which is pretty much what they did last year. And they didn't have that many two back snaps last year. So I'm like, I haven't seen anything new out of your two back package. If it's just going to be the same, like, A.J. Dillon is the dot, you know, running back and single back. Aaron Jones is going to be the motion man. Like, okay, that's not really different than what you're running anyway. And then the other option is, like, split back gun stuff where you have Aaron Jones motioning out as, like, a bubble screen type of guy, which, like, maybe you replace some of the Devontae Adams, like, constraints, like, just, like, pure number count stuff. But you're having to use motion. Like, Rodgers is going to have to look at that live. I don't know if that's going to be any sort of change of pace for him.
So, I mean, it feels like this offseason has been designed specifically to make Rodgers as uncomfortable as possible, which is why, of course, he has resorted to exploring his chakra. Can you expand on that?
Making him as uncomfortable as, but I don't know. I mean, they say they talk to him every time. Rodgers was going on McAfee during the draft, telling him how many first round grades they had on wide receivers. He was like, they have 5 first round grades on wide receivers. And then the Packers traded up with you guys, right? Didn't they trade with you guys for like the 20 or 34th pick or whatever?
Yeah, they gave
us
2 seconds to get a second. Yeah.
Highway robbery. Yeah. Highway robbed. But yeah. And then the Packers afterwards were like, yeah, we really like him. We had a first round grade on him. And it's like, okay, someone was lying. Either you lied to Aaron, or, like, there's too many people talking. That's my biggest issue. There's too many people talking. Well, I don't like this much.
How many receivers were drafted before Watson?
6, I think.
So, you know, 3 of them might not have been first round grades for the Packers.
I think the only one who didn't would have been Dotson. I think that's the one. From Washington.
Not Treylon? Washington.
No, apparently they like Treylon.
Oh, okay, interesting.
But so, Treylon went before.
Right, yeah. So, okay. With all of that in mind, so they've got, you know, an entirely new receiving core. Rodgers is going to yell at them. They are not going to do the two-back stuff, even though they are going to do the two-back stuff. They've got 2 or 3 injured tight ends. Are all 3 tight ends injured?
No,
DeGuara's
Sadie's isn't hurt.
He has old. He's not hurt. You're right.
Yeah. It's just a veteran rest day, man. Sports science, by the way. This is sports science. This is why the Rams are the least injured team in the league, like the last 3 years or whatever.
Yeah, guess who hired the Rams athletic trainer?
Did you guys? I'm not surprised if you did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it. I mean, all the player tracking stuff where they're like doing load management and using microchips and the shoulder pads and stuff to just randomly pull guys off of the field. All that stuff comes from the Rams.
Are the Packers doing it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. So what does the pass game look like then?
Oh, man. I mean, it sure hopefully looks like Aaron Rodgers being accurate and a back-to-back MVP quarterback. I'm hoping.
Because the last time Rodgers lost his top receiver was like, what, Jordy Nelson? Those years sucked.
Yeah, it wasn't great, man. It wasn't great. He will say that like he went through injuries and like that's when he cut dairy and gluten out of his diet and started taking his body more seriously. He says all that stuff is kind of what regenerated his career. But I'm pretty worried. I mean, Sammy is going to be able to have some deep speed. I guess so is Watson and Dobbs. But in terms of them being in the right places at the right time, I legitimately worry about that in this game. I mean, Jordan Love threw an interception in the preseason with basically these guys, not including Watson, out there. Watson and Watkins out there. And, like, there were five routes, and three of the guys ran the wrong route. So he had to, like, force an interception to the guy actually running the right route just because he was, like, the only option open. And it was like, I don't know, man. Those guys are the starters now.
Jesus Christ.
So, yeah, I mean, we're going to find a lot about this Packers pass-catching group if Lazard can't go. I mean, it's trial by fire.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're doing all the work for me. I think
I still think we're going to win. I just what? I don't think it's going to be
perfect. Oh, yeah, they're going to run the wrong routes. Rodgers is going to yell at all his receivers. They keep on talking about ways to mid, but they can't do it. They refuse to use two-back sets. But, yeah, everything's fine. Everything's good. Everyone's happy.
I don't know if everyone's going to be happy on the front. Let's talk about the Vikings defense real quick.
No, we don't need to do that. Let's talk a little bit more about Joe Rogan. What did you find out in your three-hour deep dive of Aaron Rodgers on Joe Rogan?
I'm trying to think of like what the most interesting thing out of it is. I blocked a lot of it out. Joe Rogan seemed appalled that like NFL players take pills and then are able to play NFL games. Like he seemed legitimately surprised. Yeah, he was like really surprised. Rogers said he took a Percocet for a game, which is like obviously the Chicago Bears game where he developed a Southern accent in the post game interview. Which is very money. But so Roger said he popped a Percocet and he was like, yeah, that was a massive mistake. And then Joe Rogan was like legit shocked that
how did he do in that game?
He came back from like three scores down. You don't remember this? He got hurt.
No, man. I don't.
Deshaun Kaiser was out there. It was bad vibes all around.
Oh, yeah. That was the Kaiser game. Okay. I remember that.
And then he stormed out of the tunnel and was like, screw this. Wow. We beat the Bears. This is what we do.
It's a good advertisement for Percocet, I guess. Not that the show endorses that. Rodgers, of course, was being monitored by medical professionals. So keep that in mind, listeners.
The NFL's never had problems with medical professionals.
Never. No.
Don't Google it.
Yeah, the best of the best. After their NFL career, they only go on to do wonderful things in the field of medicane. Yeah. Cool.
If you got canned from the Chargers, you definitely don't just tweet on Twitter.
I think that would be a mistake if hypothetically one were to do that. Especially if they were to do it to speculate on injuries.
Yeah, no doctors would ever do that on Twitter.com.
Okay, so
that is a weird niche. I want to talk about that a little bit. That makes me uncomfortable. Yeah, there are doctors that speculate on injuries based off of video on Twitter. And half the time they're wrong. And it's like, I don't know. Doesn't this make your profession look bad that you guys are doing this? Like it used to just be like guys in their underwear who have fantasy teams doing that. But now we have like actual doctors doing it. And they have
Okay, so here's the thing. The guys before the doctor showed up doing that, the guys in their underwear doing that got just as much traction as the doctors do now. People would listen to them just as much. They'd be like, oh, that's a non-contact. That sounds like MCL and PCL. That's bad. And people would be like, yeah, no, absolutely, for sure. And it turns out they just like stubbed their toe. Like, I feel like if that's going to happen, if people are going to get traction speculating, wouldn't you rather it be a medical professional?
No, I'd rather it be the dummies and we all ignore it. We come together.
But we don't. That's the, my point is that we don't.
I would.
I'll
ignore the dummies.
But that's a choice you're already making anyway. Like, your behavior doesn't change. You're not listening to the doctors now, are you?
I always listen to the doctors, Reef.
Unlike Aaron Rodgers. Back to square one. Do you think Aaron Rodgers sons his seventh chakra?
Perineum?
Yeah. I don't want to get demonetized.
I think he probably does.
Yeah?
I mean, doesn't that give you cancer?
Probably does.
I mean, I'm sure being out in the sun gives you cancer to a certain point, but that was a very blogger question.
The question I just asked.
Yeah, does going into the sun give you cancer?
No. Specifically of the perineum, right? Because that's not an area that tends to get exposed a lot.
Do you think you're more likely to get skin cancer in different areas of your body? I have no clue.
Yeah.
You're asking 100% the wrong person. This is getting very Joe Rogan podcasty.
Yeah, but now we're advocating against Joe Rogan, so we're in a good spot.
I think he suntans his perineum.
Do you think that he did that before or after he met Blue of Earth?
Oh, that was a Shailene thing, definitely.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, that's true. So are they cool? Is that like I don't have an understanding of how that worked out.
Shailene and Blue of Earth?
No. Shailene and Rodgers, because like Rodgers kept on acting like they were cool. And then Shailene
was on Instagram being like, "You were the love of my life," and that was great.
That's
so. I don't know.
I've been there. I get it.
You've been there. Tough scene.
Yeah, in high school. That's the thing. That's the difference. Rodgers is like 30 something, right?
You know, Addy. When Addy leaves me,
oh, that's true. Yeah, you're done. Yeah, you're done.
I'm done. I'm cooked.
Because my understanding is that the only reason you come out of this podcast is that you also aired on your own podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Correct. I can answer some questions, I guess.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
There are a million bad ways to start your morning off. The no coffee traffic jam, the soggy morning jog, the why is the dog taking so long, just go already walk. But you can unleash your ideal day with a perfect shower using Method hair care products. Designed with high quality ingredients, Method's new range of shampoos and conditioners will give your hair undeniable softness and shine. And hey, if you're a night shower kind of person, that's great too. Try Pure Peace infused with peony, rosewater, and quinoa protein. Or Simply Nourish, crafted with coconut, rice milk, and shea butter. Or Daily Zen, made with cucumber, seaweed, and green tea. Reconnect with the best version of yourself. Visit methodproducts.com to unleash your inner shower. Shop methodproducts.com.
Okay. Minnesota Vikings defense.
Never heard of it.
Are you guys actually convinced that your defense is going to get better without Mike Zimmer?
Are you saying are we the Vikings?
You collective. Oh, I'm sorry. You guys aren't a collective shareholders group.
yeah, you right. Think Vikings yeah. fans we are independent. Convinced? We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps independently. Yeah. I'm not. I think a lot of people are.
What is the case for that? Because I really don't understand that. Like, Zim is great at what he does. Maybe he shouldn't have been in a head coaching role. But, like, him being able to game plan defense is, like, no one...
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir on this one. Yeah.
Like,
coverages,
like, third downs, like, no one was better at that than Zim.
They were, like, fifth in third down percentage last year. Like, the team was awful. They're still fifth defensively in third down percentage. It's just wild. I think Zimmer has two out of the three best third down defenses in NFL history. So, you know, or at least going back to when they tracked it, which is like 91. So 30 years, right?
But that's all that counts.
Yeah.
If you're looking at any stats before like 2004,
right.
To recreate like modern looks, like, no, doesn't matter.
Yeah. So, that's going to go. So here's the thing. I think, the personnel until, you know, maybe one injury occurs is in a better spot than last year. So there is that, I guess, opportunity to improve. But like people mostly remember the end of half defenses from the Vikings because the Vikings gave up a ton of points last year, like 27th, 28th, 29th or something. And if you can eliminate those last 2 minutes, the mistakes that occurred in the last 2 minutes, if you looked at every team in the league over the course of the other 56 minutes, you know, the Vikings would have been like a 13-3 or 15-1 team. I mean, they were like phenomenal in those 56 minutes. It's those final 2 minutes that really screwed it up. And so if you've got the base to be able to be good for 56 minutes and you can just fix the one thing, it doesn't even have to be as good as the rest of it. It just has to be NFL average. I think that's where the confidence comes from, is the idea that the defense can get better because really you just have to make sure that they don't screw up in the final moment of a half because they were like in EPA per play, like the defense was like 12th best, even though it gave up the 27th most points, right? So like there were like some bones there, right? There's like a good defense hiding in there somewhere. And I do think that they'll genuinely get better on like first and second down just because that run defense is going to be good. But yeah, I think that it's all going to get washed out by red zone and third down because Mike Zimmer is also really good at red zone. He's one of the few coordinators to post consistent red zone defense percentages because I don't think any other coordinator could be as consistent year to year as he was.
Maybe him in and red Belichick. Zone. Belichick's a psycho when you look at that.
Okay, actually, no. Belichick doesn't count. Yeah, his for like 20 years too.
Dude, it's unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal. It's crazy. He's like five times as good as like anyone else.
Yeah, over his career. Wild. It's nuts. But yeah, I think red zone defense will get worse. And I think third down defense will get worse. But luckily, those don't matter. So,
what does your secondary look like? Who's playing in the slot?
Shannon Sullivan.
Oh.
Did you not see that Shannon Sullivan yelled at me on Twitter?
No.
I'll find it.
What is it?
Yeah, I'll find it. Yeah. He says I haven't been watching camp. I'll just give you the tweet, man. Obviously.
Yeah, arm me.
The amount of times that you've sent me embarrassing pictures of yourself, I think.
Yeah, there's folders somewhere. And I'm waiting for them to drop.
I don't know what you're talking about. I would never
so defensively,
have.
So Booth, your second round pick, and Seen, your first round pick, they're not seeing the field really.
No.
That's kind of crazy.
Did you want more? Or?
I mean, that's enough for me. I mean, is Booth healthy? I know, what was it? He had like a hernia issue coming out of the draft. That was a pretty big deal. That's why he ended up falling down the draft.
Yeah.
Do those guys look healthy at all? Like if they have to come in and play.
Every additional thing with Booth is different and unique in its own way. Right now it's an ankle, which I don't think he had. Okay, well, so here's what happens, right? So the Vikings, you know, do the thing that every team does where they say, you know, the first rounders have to earn it. There's going to be a genuine competition at safety and a genuine competition at cornerback. And the Vikings genuinely had a starting quality safety in Cameron Bynum. It was kind of confusing when they drafted a safety. And then those guys actually won the competition, and the Vikings clearly didn't expect that. But they also don't want to like come out of the gate losing games. So I think this is just a case where like Cameron Dantzler actually got better and Cameron Bynum is still playing well. I think it's one of those. And Lewisine has been, I would argue, disappointing in camp. A lot of people, you know, disagree. They think that he's been doing all right, but I don't know. I feel like he's late to doing his stuff.
That's crazy because he was so instinctual.
Oh, he's crazy Georgia. Instinctive. He knew the offense's plays before the offense did. It was wild. Yeah. I sent you the tweet, by the way.
Vikings fans, how are they consuming the Za'Darius stuff? Because Packers fans are pretty hurt right now.
Are they actually hurt or are they just mad?
Yeah, because he's lied like 5 different times.
Lied?
Yeah.
He lied. Yes. Tell me the lie.
Za'Darius lied.
Wait, so no, it sounds like you're lying.
No, Za'Darius was like, I was in the facility the whole time to Tyler Dunn when, in fact, he was unvaccinated and was leaving the facility constantly, which okay, had to restart. Well,
first of all, we know that the Packers were not enforcing vaccination rules for who could be in and not.
They were doing it inside the building, which is what LaFleur said multiple times.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they were. I bet they were. The media
room does not count as the building. He said that multiple times. Roger says it's a witch hunt. Look, that's not what it's important. Za'Darius lied. Za'Darius lied after he could have had back surgery well before week 2 of the season.
What do you mean? The injury occurred in week 1.
No.
What do you mean well before?
No.
Are you saying he should have had it on Tuesday instead of Wednesday?
He started training camp on NFI.
Yeah, and then the Packers told him it would be no big deal, and then he got a second opinion, and the second opinion was like, yeah, you really need surgery. And that's what motivated
him. That's his story.
How do you know that's a lie?
That's his story. Look, I don't want to say
what is this?
I've said enough. Look, maybe he could have had surgery multiple weeks ahead of time, and maybe they weren't pushing him to play because he wanted to play because it was a contract year for him. Because they did move like a crazy amount of dead cap into his final year's cap hit, which did put him in a position where like he thought he was going to get paid, and then it became, yeah, this is a contract year, but we're not going to be armed up to extend you at all. So you're in a contract year playing for free agency.
Basically. Okay, so
that's not great.
So they told him they didn't want him. Then they told him he didn't need surgery. And then
he finds out from a real doctor. They were trying to work on an extension, and they couldn't come up to a number.
Sure. So then he talks to a real doctor, and the doctor's like, man, your back is really screwed up. You got to get this fixed. He gets it fixed, and then he comes back, and everyone treats him like he's some sort of pariah for getting his back fixed, for taking care of himself.
Look, all I'm saying is some people would have maybe liked to have seen it get done before week 2.
Possibly. I mean, it sounded like, you know, he aggravated in week 1. It sounds like the Packers wanted him to play.
He couldn't practice.
It's pretty screwed up, man.
He couldn't practice.
So why did the Packers make him play? That's so screwed up.
Look, do what I did. Go listen to the September
16th. Okay, first of all, you will never convince me to do something by saying do what I did. That is the least compelling thing you could have possibly said.
Go back and listen to the September 16th, 2021 press conference Matt LaFleur had, where he seemed very freaking mad that Za'Darius – basically, he came
Send
across –
Send it to me. I'm not going to go back. Send it to me.
He sounded like a person who got convinced by Za'Darius that he was healthy enough to play.
Wow. That sounds like massive amounts of reading in.
No. And then
send it to me because I'm not going to do the work to go back all the way to the September 16th. I don't even remember anymore. September 16th. Sure, find
it on my. I had to like Twitter search it.
No, I'm sure you have it on your hard drive.
He said multiple times he's like Za'Darius isn't going to be able to play games until he can go in back to back practices. We're done with that. He's mad. Should a coach get swindled? Probably not.
This is why he hasn't won Coach of the Year.
He probably honestly shouldn't have last year. It was Goot probably should have won Executive of the Year last year, though.
He should have won Executive of the Year?
Goot? Yeah.
Oh, Goot. Okay.
Russell Douglas and Devondre Campbell for nothing. Yeah.
Well, he actually sent it to me, you madman.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm going to listen to it later. Okay. So, outside of the fact that everybody on... Oh, no, we didn't talk about the offensive line. So, this is something that you should be excited about, right?
I am. The fact that Bach and Jenkins have been able to be... They're listening to them as limited.
So they're on the injury report, but it sounds like they're both going to play.
Yeah, it says they're limited, but they're doing team drills. So, right. I mean, they're taking all the snaps.
And Zach Tom is like God's gift to offensive linemen.
he's fun, but the Packers don't seem to like him as much as the fans do. I mean, I think he's
starting, right? He's starting at right guard.
Zach Tom? No.
Yeah. He's not?
No. That's going to be Royce Newman.
Oh. If I remember from our conversation last year, Royce Newman got screwed up by games all the time.
Yes. Still the case based off of
his preseason. Well, I mean, it shouldn't be an issue with a Za'Darius Smith-led defense. That doesn't seem like
Oh, man. Dude, if Jenkins went out, Newman would probably play right tackle, and then Jake Hansen, who's
Isn't
not
he a center?
Good.
Isn't Jake Hansen a center?
He should be a backup center. But Jake Hansen would be starting at right guard in that situation, I think. That's how they kind of played him the whole preseason. So they wouldn't play
Zach Tom, even though Zach Tom had the best preseason I've ever heard Twitter talk about for an offensive lineman.
He was like the number one rated offensive lineman by like PFF and all that stuff too. Yeah. But no, they wouldn't play him. I think they play Jake Hansen. That seems like the way that they've been trending this whole offseason. They've rotated in Tom at different times at like left and right tackle. They recently got him looks at left guard, which like that didn't make sense to me because John Runyon Jr. is a really good left guard. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I don't know. I think Tom is like their ninth offensive lineman on the depth chart the way it ends up shaking out. So I don't expect to see him at all.
Is he behind Nyman?
Yeah. Nyman would play left tackle.
So Hansen and Nyman are ahead of him. Does that mean Sean Ryan's ahead of him?
No, not Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan has not been very good. Not Walker.
So Tom is eighth.
No, the five. Oh, yeah. I'm counting.
Good
double
Lord.
Counted Newman somehow. I double counted Newman. My bad. I went through my mental checklist.
I can't believe you ran numbers for the XFL. That's insane to me. You can't even do math.
I went five, and then I was like Newman, Hanson, Ryan. Mentally, I'm like, Newman's not a starter. There's no way Newman's a starter.
All right, so
no,
you got.
I'm worried about Za'Darius. This is Za'Darius week. This is blood week.
Right, yeah. Za'Darius is going to get like half the pressures he's going to get this year.
And he's going to have something printed on his t-shirt. And when he gets a sack, he's lifting
up.
So
he's done that before, right?
He's done it many times.
Oh, yeah, okay. What did he have on his t-shirt last time?
One was Breonna Taylor, I think. And then another time he wrote Snub. Because he didn't make all pro, I think.
He wrote sup?
Snubbed.
Snubbed. Oh, well, I guess that makes sense. Wait, was that in 2019 at least?
Yeah, I think so. Because he made it in 2020. And I think he made Pro Bowls.
Sure.
Both years? I'm not
all sure. Right, so you've got two injured tackles, blind right guard. You think John Runyon's good. Is Josh Myers any good?
Josh Myers is good. He buried someone in the Kansas City game. The offensive line is good, and I think Jenkins and Bakhtiari are probably healthier than what people expect from limited time. I mean, dude, Bach's injury happened on New Year's Day 2020.
Mm-hmm.
He's got fresh legs.
Yeah, he could be a setback.
He's got fresh legs.
Had a setback.
Don't put that in the universe. I think the offensive line's going to be good. The backfield is good. I don't know how they're going to get on the field together, but
is Jordan Love a bust?
I mean, I guess if you're looking like third year, like 20th overall pick,
Bukowski told me he's good.
Who did?
Bukowski.
His second preseason game this year, he was really good, and that's easily the best I've seen Jordan Love ever.
Okay, you didn't comment on that, so you don't think Jordan Love is good.
I think that second preseason game was really good. The third preseason game, I was like, yeah, this Jordan Love again. Okay. That's kind of how I feel about it. I mean, we'll see. I mean, he hasn't gotten a lot of snaps. It's not like he's getting a ton of reps behind Aaron Rodgers. So,
should the Packers have taken a flyer on Kellen Mond?
I mean, should the Packers have traded up for Justin Jefferson? That would have been nice. Kellen Mond, not so much. I mean, he's on a practice squad now, right?
No. He made a roster. He got waived, and then he made a roster.
Did he really?
Yeah.
I don't believe you.
Let's Google it together.
Oh, he's on the Browns.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Whoa. That's weird.
Well, I guess he actually did not work with Kevin Stefanski, but hey. Is there anything else about the offense we should talk about?
Packers offense?
Yeah.
I think we covered all of it. I
mean, No, hold on. Is Christian Watson going to be a bust?
I have no idea. He hasn't been able to get on the field yet.
Yeah, but he's from NDSU.
He is from NDSU, and he has had 3 knee surgeries to the same knee already.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's never a good sign. Well, hopefully he can run downfield real fast for a couple years.
Yeah, no, he could be a good punt gunner. I agree. is the Romeo Dubs hype real?
So I think his talent is absolutely as real as people make it out to be.
You changed your display name to Romeo Dubs Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and then he had a couple drops in the preseason, which is what I was about to say after that. the drops are going to be frustrating. He does have a couple drops in him that he's good for. But like, he'll run slot fades against NFL corners and score touchdowns. Like, it's going to be
fun.
Give me
a yardage for him this year.
This year?
Yeah.
Let's go like 550.
Really? That's pretty good. Fourth round rookie?
Yeah. Pretty solid.
Yeah, you got to be lying. Let's talk about the defense.
He's third in offensive player of the year, or offensive rookie of the year odds, which I think is funny.
Yeah, because of your tweets.
Well,
you absolutely moved some lines
for that. I got him plus 10,000 for that, and now it's up to like plus 1,000. So I'm trying to figure out a way how to cash out on that one.
You should.
I'm ready to. I might do that right after we cancel.
That's crazy. So you get a guy on 10,001 odds. You tweet about him. You change the odds, and now you cash out. That's insider trading.
They
nailed Calvin Ridley for less.
Dude, you are very overrating how much power I have. But yeah, I got him and Tyler Algier at the same price.
Where is Algier? Falcons?
Falcons, yeah. I was like, they don't really have running backs. Maybe he'll win the starting job. And nope, swing
and
a miss.
You should have picked the Texans guy.
I should have.
Yeah, because who's ahead of Damian Pierce? Nobody, right? Like when they drafted him, who could you have reasonably said would have been ahead of him?
I have no idea. I guess it would like Marlon Mack, something.
Yeah, I guess. All right, let's talk about the defense. Who's starting next to Kenny Clark and Dean Lowry? Is it T.J. Slayton or Jerron Reed? Because it's not Devontae Wyatt.
Yes, it's Jerron Reed.
Okay.
Wyatt's next guy up, though. Slayton's the backup nose tackle.
Okay. What's wrong with Devontae Wyatt? Why isn't he starting?
He had a concussion in the first preseason game.
He doesn't have a concussion now. Why is he not starting?
Yeah, I mean, I think they really like Reed. Everyone's just head over heels on Reed every single time they go up to a microphone. So sounds like Reed's pretty good.
Like Wyatt's a bust. It sounds like he's already busting. What's this?
I don't know. He's 24. I don't know.
Yeah, he's old as hell.
Ageism in there. Yeah. I think the defensive line is fine. You don't have to worry about them, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, the defensive line's great, obviously. I hate it. Kenny Clark, best nose tackle in the league?
Ooh. So it'd be him or Vea, right?
Yeah, I think those are basically your two options, right?
Yeah, I think it's one of those two. I mean, I'd probably go Vea, but Clark is right behind him.
It's like how good is Dean Lowry? It feels like Packers fans tell me he's always underrated, and you're like in Robert Woods territory then. So underrated, you're overrated.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, they chose to restructure his contract and give him void years instead of extend him. So it's not like they're fighting to keep him in house.
Okay. Overrated. Preston Smith, can he be good?
Yeah, I think he can be good. My big question is like,
why does it feel like ever since he showed up on the Packers, he's disappeared?
Because they drop him into coverage and just use him as an edge setter.
Why?
Well, the first 2 years, it's because they had this guy named Za'Darius Smith who was able to match up on the inside, and he was able to rush the passer there. That was a pretty good situation they had going for a while. And now I guess like Rashawn Gary is just kind of like their designated pass rusher. They drop.
Well, they're not going to drop Rashawn Gary into coverage. So I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. So that's just kind of how that works out. The problem is watch when Preston and Gary, and this is something I'm going to be watching on Sunday, when they get rotated out, because we got Jonathan Garvin, Kingsley Enagbare, and Tipanalia behind him.
Man, dude, I hear they suck.
They are not good. I think Kingsley has a chance, but he's still like very young. He started coming on at the end of the preseason, mm-hmm. but like Garvin and Tipa don't do anything for me. And they were on the team last year. So like the way the Packers end up rotating these guys, they double rotate the outside linebackers out. So it's not like,
wait, really? So you're not, so there are situations where neither of them are on the field.
Yes. It's like, hey, like Tipa and this is the Tipa and Garvin drive. And it's like, they can't get off the field.
That's catastrophic. Why?
That was the problem with the Packers.
What's wrong with Joe Barry?
Dude, they've done this since capers, man.
They don't have to, right? They got a new defensive coordinator. No. They could just choose not to do that.
I agree, but I'm haunted by this double rotation my entire life. Like it's always Clay Matthews and Perry are on the bench next to each other. It's never just one of them. It's both.
Okay, so here's the thing. Like, I feel like every year, someone is hyping up the Packers defense. This year, I think PFF Mike has been doing a lot of it. But genuinely,
that first line of the depth chart does look really nice.
Yeah, I mean, so the Vikings
looks really, really nice.
The Vikings' first line of the defensive depth chart actually looks all right. Like that's never the issue. The Packers seem like they're always loaded with, but the defense always seems to disappoint relative to the amount of individual talent they have.
If a pass rusher goes down, we're in trouble. That's what it is. Pass rusher and safety are the two positions where it's like, if someone goes down, I don't know if there's depth. Like, I don't know if these guys are even like XFL starters.
Well, I guess you would know. Quay Walker, any good?
Quay Walker's very good. He's really fun.
Did they overdraft him?
Huh? Did anyone draft him?
Yeah, did they overdraft him?
Oh, no. I was excited. When they turned in the pick, I was hyped up. I love Quay. I was excited. I wanted Quay. My options going into the draft were the two Georges, right? Mm-hmm. Karloftis and Pickens. And then mm-hmm. after that, it was Quay. So I was happy to grab Quay.
I can't believe Pickens fell as far as he did, man. Like, I get it. But like, okay. I love Pickens, man. I'm going to have to ask you about somebody else too. Okay. Jaire Alexander. Healthy? Good?
Yeah. Seems healthy. I think that cornerback trio is awesome, man. Sounds like Russell is going to get full-time work in the slot. It's going to be really fun.
How much experience does Russell have in the slot?
Not that much. I mean, he was playing outside corner last year.
Yeah, so why would you be excited about him in the slot?
They seem to really like him. Like when Savage was in.
They also seem to really like putting, you know, Jonathan Garvin and Tipa Galea on the field at the same time. And why would I trust that? I've seen
Russell Douglas do great stuff. Russell Douglas is like the third best corner in the league for like all the nerd stats. So
but that's driven by unsustainable stuff like those picks.
Yeah, that's fine. Rogers like loves Russell, by the way. Rogers is like the only person like maybe smarter than
Russell. Rogers also forced a Randall Cobb trade. He's not a GM.
Yeah, that's true. But he's like the only person like maybe smarter than Russell I've ever played with is Charles Woodson.
Okay.
So whenever you say those things.
Does that mean he can play the nickel? That doesn't mean he can play the nickel.
Mike
Fitzpatrick went to Harvard. We'll find out real quick. Matt Burke went to Harvard, and he's 11 points down in the lieutenant governor race.
I did see. I saw one. He slimmed up.
Yeah, he's super.
And two, he's running. Hashtag he's running.
Yeah, he's absolutely running. He has an eye on the presidency. You know it.
Matt Burke?
Yeah, he has to.
Didn't Matt Burke?
He strikes me as a guy
pilled?
Who wants that. He wants that.
Wasn't he poison pilled?
Matt Burke? You thinking about Hutch?
Oh, I was. Okay. I was like, a poison pilled president is kind of a weird situation.
That would be very funny.
Yeah. No, I think the defense is really good, especially if they're healthy. I mean, you're getting the Packers at the worst time of the year with their defense healthy.
The worst time of the year when the defense
is healthy. Someone's gonna get hurt eventually. Like
So I was talking about like how talented I think the individual members of the defense are. Went through it and I talked about how much I love Darnell Savage, and I was getting nothing from the people I was talking to. Why are people down on him? I thought he was like killer.
Savage might be the wink leak on the defense, I think. Like I don't think he's—
Wait, who's the third starting corner?
The third?
Douglas. Yeah. No, okay, so but you mean that because it's the nickel, but Douglas is the second most talented corner. Who is the other outside
corner? Stokes is going to start as the other outside corner.
Right, but doesn't Stokes suck? How is he not the weak link?
No, Stokes is good.
Nah, he's terrible.
He's terrible?
Yeah, he's awful.
Clipping it.
Yeah, we'll do that. The only reason you like him is because he's not king.
I mean, that does a lot for me. that goes a long way. Stokes is good. Stokes has incredible makeup speed. He does lose at the line.
I mean, he ran like a 4-2-1, didn't he?
Yeah, he loses at the line, but he ends up making up for it. And I'm like, wow, that's awesome that didn't just go for a 60-yard touchdown.
What is this PFF? What did the gods at PFF say about him? The unmitigated masters. A 66.3? This guy?
Yeah, rookie year. Let's
take a step up. But that's all you have! What are you talking
about? I use my eyes. I don't need the stats. I watch the Packers every week.
You just gave me like a bunch of PFF stats to justify your dumb takes earlier.
Yeah.
That's who you are. I understand.
Double standard.
Understand. Consistency is never your game.
Darnell Savage.
51% reception rate? Wow. This is pretty bad. 567 yards allowed. Good Lord.
I don't trust them grading quarters coverage and like who gets assigned that stuff.
That's your excuse?
Yeah. The Packers play a ton of quarters.
Okay, I'm looking at this right now, and I realize one reason I might be biased is because his worst grade was against the Vikings.
Oh, that makes sense. The game where every skill player went for 100 yards?
Yeah. I think it was pretty fun, actually.
Agree to disagree. That was a nightmare. Just not being able to stop Thielen, Jefferson, or Dalvin Cook.
Yeah, you're getting the Vikings at the worst time when those receivers are healthy.
So Darnell Savage, he's really good at like getting an inch away from the play and then like missing the pass breakup and allowing a completion. So that's probably why you're not getting much traction on Savage.
So am I wrong? Is he actually bad?
He's not bad. He hasn't taken that step yet, though. Like he's an average player. With a better upside, but like he hasn't gotten there yet. He has not.
Oh, okay. I just went to his PFF page again. Obviously, we always defer to PFF on everything. I guess he had a 58.5 grade last year, and I'm just remembering his 2020, which I thought was really excellent.
Savage, yeah, he'll miss some balls in the air, and it'll get frustrating. Like there's some game. What was it, like the Cincinnati game? I can't remember what game it was. He should have had like three different picks. And he came down with none of them. I was like, dang, man.
I feel like that's something that corrects itself.
Yeah, but let's see it. I want to see it. I would love for it to correct itself against Kirk Cousins in week one.
All right. Well, okay. So I don't have to worry about Stokes. I don't have to worry about Savage. Got it. Understand.
I didn't say don't worry about Stokes.
What happened to the Vikings kicker that you got? Gabe Bursich? Burkett?
Oh, he tore his hamstring in the first preseason game.
Jesus.
And they were kicking off like 20-yard kickoffs. So they had to waive him with the injury designation. I don't think they have a settlement yet with him still.
Wow.
He like legit, he tore up his hamstring so bad that if you watch the All-22, he like legit does not move after a kickoff. And it legit impacted they're special. Like they could not get usable film on kickoff in that game. So that's what happened.
There. So is that a game where you charted all the special team snaps?
Yeah.
And you can't even use it.
Well, I just did player participation for special team stuff.
Okay. Do you do it for anybody or just for yourself?
I put it up on the site. Had a couple breakdowns. Learning a lot about.
Okay. For yourself. Teams. Okay. Got it. What do you want to know about the Vikings offense?
Is there any reason to think that Kevin O'Connell is going to make this offense better and why?
What are you talking about, man? Really?
Why would he make this offense better? Didn't you guys just have Kubiak running through?
He's better. Yeah, okay. So obviously, it's still going to be a West Coast system, right? There's
So what's the difference?
You cannot seriously be asking that question.
Just like this guy doesn't hate Kirk.
Hold on. Who would you rather have in charge of your offense, Mike McCarthy or Matt LaFleur?
What a dumb question.
To both West Coast offenses.
I get. All right. Okay. So what changes between, like, how does the offense look different with Kevin O'Connell and a Kubiak? Because I can tell you how it looks different between LaFleur and McCarthy.
You've got a wider menu of plays. You're giving the quarterback a little bit more in terms of pre-snap to change the play. You're putting receivers on the field more often when it makes sense. You're just generally passing the ball a little bit more. I don't know, man. Like, how did the Rams offense look different to you than the Vikings offense? A bunch of different ways. There's a bunch of motion. There's a much more creative use of a lot of these players. A lot more willingness.
Well, last year were just like a gun passing team.
Yeah.
They weren't even like, you know, whatever you think the Shanahan, McVay, Kubiak, whatever you want to call
it. Yeah, they defer to Matthew Stafford on play action usage. That is correct.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, even before last year, right, with Jared Goff, a version of Kirk Cousins, they had a bunch of different tendencies that were a lot different than the Vikings tendencies. Not just more receivers on the field, not just more motion, but like the play action design looked better.
All right, that's fair. I feel like every Packers fan knows the Viking skill players. I just want to know about the offensive line. How are those guys holding up? Because I know Darashaw coming out was, you don't want to call him soft, but like maybe not strong. Okay,
would you have called him soft if you take out that Miami game?
I can't remember. I remember the Miami game.
I do too, because I remember
watched three games of him. I just remember the Miami game.
I was watching him, and I was in a group chat, and midway through the Miami game, I got so mad that I was like, I've never called a football player soft so often in my life. I feel like a Republican. And the group chat roasted me, and then I posted some film from Darasaw in that game. And then they got mad too. Like it was really upsetting watching that Miami.
It was bad.
But outside of that, actually, he did finish a lot. He was aggressive. He wasn't soft. I think apparently in the Miami game, he was just playing through like the worst injury. So, no, they like his finishing. I don't know. You saw the McGinn stuff, right? Where like one scout talked about how tough and gritty and how good his finishing was. Another scout called him like soft as hell. Like that feels like it's one game that everyone's talking about. Yeah. The anonymous scouts, the esteemed colleagues of Bob McGinn.
What's the interior looking? So it's Ezra Cleveland, Garrett Bradbury, and Ed Ingram.
Yeah. Ed Ingram.
How are they looking?
In prison. No, I would say that Ezra Cleveland looks fine. I think that he looks like an average guard, which I think is a pretty significant upgrade from where he was like 2 years ago when he was playing right guard and looked awful. I don't know if you've seen like the projections, I think it was Eric Eager put out for like the individual offensive linemen and how you expect them to be. And they ranked Cleveland pretty low, but honestly, I think that he's done fine. Bradbury is going to continue to be a disaster. I have not seen anything that tells me that that's going to change.
Kenny Clark food. Nice.
Oh, easy. That's problem. Ed Ingram at times looks really solid. He doesn't look like he fits in with the rest of the line because the rest of the line is super athletic. Because it's like Brian O'Neill, former tight end, Ezra Cleveland. Mm-hmm. I think he might have been a former tight end, Christian Darrisaw. Like Garrett Bradbury, they all can run, right? They all have the ability to like get out ahead on screen pass. And then there's like Ed Ingram, who is fine athletically, but he's just like clearly a step and a half behind everybody. So it is weird. There's like this weird discordance when they do like the outside zone stuff. But he's relatively strong. He's got much better balance than Oliudo had last year. But I think he's just going to make a bunch of mistakes. Like I remember breaking down the Ed Ingram film. I was not that impressed. Then a bunch of LSU fans were like, well, he was the best player on their offensive line. And I was like, yeah, I know. I watched it. That offensive line was awful.
Not just the offensive line, the whole team.
The whole team. Dude, whoever played right tackle for them last year, man, I hope he gets a degree. I really hope he gets a degree. This is not it for him.
It's LSU, so the good news is, at the very least, he transferred. At the very least, he transferred.
But yeah, I have my concerns about Ingram. I think the athleticism is a big concern. I think that he can get beat to either shoulder by people with quick steps. But you know, he's strong. He's got a good punch, and he's got the ability to get up to the second level if he aims right, which he didn't always do in the preseason. So, but that will improve the pass protection overall. Getting rid of Oladipo and replacing with Ed Ingram. Yeah, I don't know. Like Brian O'Neill will remain a high level right tackle. Christian Darrisaw, I'm worried that the fan base is overrating him. Right now, I'm going to consider him an above average tackle. But like, yeah, you know, they compared him to Trent Williams, and then Trent Williams shows up and compares himself to Christian Darrisaw, and so now everybody is in a froth.
Good they Lord.
Wore the same number.
Trent Williams last year was the best tackle I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It was easily. Incredible.
Not close. Like,
and he was doing stuff I've never seen tackles do. Like stuff.
Dude, when they were doing the him motioning out of the backfield to lead block as like an off tight end, that should have been banned. That's absurd. That dude has a head of steam. He's 350 pounds and can run like the wind. Are you kidding me?
And what is he like 35? Like what's going on?
Yeah. Get real. And then they like gave him like the biggest contract ever for an offensive lineman, even though he was at that age. Like,
yeah, it was, dude, it was nuts. And he was doing stuff that like you, like if you're coaching offensive linemen, you don't want them watching him, you know, one of those guys.
Yeah.
Where it's like, he's like spinning around backwards cause he knows he can get to where he needs to go. Like just crazy stuff.
There was a time probably like 2 years ago where I was, cause that was probably like peak Bakhtiari before he got injured. Right. Mm-hmm. Where everyone's talking about, you know, because of the PFF stats, right?
Right.
They say, you know, Bakhtiari is the best left tackle in the league. And I'm like, he might be the best pass blocker, but I'd still take Trent ahead of him. And I feel like I don't even have to like.
Yeah. Now that Bakhtiari is broken, it's easy for you to say that. You can get away with it.
Well, I'm not so much that. I mean, hopefully Bakhtiari returns and he's as good as he was. But after Trent's last year, it's just like, yeah, this it's not even the same game, man. Like Trent is the best I've ever seen.
Do you know the worst thing is there's going to be a debate about him in the Hall of Fame. I know. I can feel
Trent?
It. Yeah.
Yeah. That's very dumb. We should just put up highlights right now.
Yeah. Honestly. Anyway, it's that's like your Christian Darrisaw.
After Washington, like, didn't tell him he had a brain tumor.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Right. Okay. That's all because he had brain surgery. What, twice?
Yeah, honestly. He was like, if we didn't catch this fast enough, I would have been dead. That's why he didn't want to play with Washington.
Yeah.
He was like, dude, I have no problem. Like, they fired their entire medical staff trying to, like, make it up to him. And he's like, dude, you don't get it. I do not trust the organization. Yeah, right. Which, in hindsight, great call.
Anyway. That's who Christian Darrisaw is.
Okay.
Right. So, but yeah. Okay.
Do we want to get into predictions?
Right. Because, I just want to get this out because Breer tweeted out that the Vikings compare Christian Darrisaw to Trent Williams, and then some reporter was like, "I see it. I see Trent Williams in him." And then Trent Williams shows up for joint practices, and he's like, "Yeah, he and me are like the same." And they both wear 71. And it was the worst thing I've ever seen. Darrisaw is like fine, but this is going to make him a worse player. Like the universe will make him worse because of this.
He'll be punished.
Anyway, before we get to predictions, what 40 time do you think Pat O'Donnell ran?
Oh, he ran like surprisingly fast, right? He ran like a 4.6 or something.
Yeah, you nailed it. 4.64.
Yeah, there's been a lot of Pat O'Donnell talk in the APC Slack. He has a long neck also.
Is he going to run? Is he going to do fakes?
I don't think so, but he can sure hold that ball, which is the issue that Bohork has had. So
that's what got Bohork has run out of Buffalo too.
Yeah,
like that exact issue, which Buffalo's
it's not his punting. It's very weird. It's like, yeah, this guy cannot hang on to a punting job, and it's not because of his punting.
What? Yeah. Buffalo's fine a punter now. No issues there. So
yikes.
Glad they moved on.
Yeah. Big ol' yikes from me.
Yeah. Oof. Man, 23 bench reps. He could stiff arm, man. Okay. Predictions. What, the Packers are favored by 1.5, right?
Yep.
You know better than me.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that that's a good line?
Yeah. I think that's probably fair. And maybe a couple more points Packers win, but I probably wouldn't.
A couple more. When it's a basically a pick me and you're saying a couple more points the Packers way.
Couple. I'm going 17-10 Packers. We got the best defense in the league. We're healthy on that side of the ball.
Oh, my God. Is that your actual? Are you going to register that?
We're great.
Are you registering the 17-10 prediction? Is that your final answer?
Yes.
I'm going to play that back at you. I don't even know if the Vikings are going to win. I'm not confident in the Vikings, but dude, 17-10, that's nuts. It's like the 10th best offense in the league last year, and then they got better because they got a better offensive coordinator.
You think 10 points is too much?
Oh, my God. All right.
The best defense in the league, maybe in modern.
24-20 Vikings. I don't need to hear any more of this.
Support for this show comes from Fundrise. Buy low, sell high. It's easy to say, hard to do. For example, high interest rates are crushing the real estate market right now. Demand is dropping and prices are falling, even for many of the best assets. It's no wonder the Fundrise Flagship Fund plans to go on a buying spree, expanding its billion-dollar real estate portfolio over the next few months. You can add the Fundrise Flagship Fund to your portfolio in just minutes and with as little as $10 by visiting fundrise.com/fox. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the Fundrise Flagship Fund before investing. This and other information can be found in the fund's prospectus at fundrise.com/flagship. This is a paid advertisement.